All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is Friday, December 2nd. This is the second hour of Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with birthday boy Aaron Zummers here as well. Again, happy birthday, young man. And I always like that I can say young man, especially to somebody less than half my age still.
Ooh, yeah, 24 today.
24. Wow. 24 was, let's see, I got married at 22. We had our first kid at 24 and our second kid at 26, both while my wife was in medical school. So you got some catching up to do here.
I could not imagine being married or having children right now. Not even close.
Well, here's the thing. We thought we were old, wily adult veterans at this point because both of our moms were, I think, 18 when they got married. And I came along at 18 and she came along, my wife did, when her mom was 19. So we were mature at 24, you know, waiting to start a family then. But yeah, got married right like a few days after I graduated college. The first year of our marriage was her senior year of college, and she would actually commute from Rice Lake because the job I found coming out of college was at WAQE radio in Rice Lake. So she'd have to drive down to UW Eau Claire. Then it was off to medical school in Milwaukee and kids coming after that. And I'm trying to think what I did for my 24th birthday would be, well, she was pregnant with our first daughter, Samantha. So it wasn't a wild one. I can pretty much guarantee that was the case. I was working early morning radio at WBKV in West Bend. So I was up equally early, but you weren't around because you hadn't even been born yet. So I can't even count you as one of the potential listeners back then. So that's how much time has passed, which is not at all depressing. I keep hearing I'm supposed to, embrace how gracefully I'm aging and whatnot, but now you've made me all reminiscent. So damn you for having a birthday, Aaron. But anyway,
yeah, I'm just too old now. Cause then it makes everyone else feel old.
That's it. I mentioned last hour, I got through much of the last hour, but I suppose we're going to talk about Ye, formerly Kanye West. And I remember now, again, I haven't fully kicked the Twitter habit yet, although I have really noticed the quality has plunged, and I'm trying to get both Post and Mastodon to be as, you know, timely from a news standpoint as I find Twitter to be when it works well. Anyway, had it open on my desktop, and suddenly it did, you know, it blew up, as we like to say, with people saying that Kanye West, Ye, was being interviewed live by Alex Jones and was, I mean, not just anti-Semitic, but like full-blown Nazi, saying Hitler wasn't that bad. So it actually made Alex Jones look uncomfortable and almost moderate by comparison, though of course not really.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I know. So the Washington Post article says that the rapper Ye praised Adolf Hitler and Nazis in an interview Thursday with far-right provocateur Alex Jones, drawing a fresh round of condemnation for his incendiary antisemitism 1 week after he dined with former President Donald Trump alongside white nationalist Nick Fuentes. "I like Hitler," a fully masked Ye told Jones. Minutes later, the rapper said, "I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis." Alex Jones nervously laughed and added, "Well, I have to disagree with that." The denunciations came far and wide. One of the more impressive ones came from Norm Coleman. He's the former U.S. Senator from Minnesota, former mayor of St. Paul. He's now the chair of the Republican Jewish Coalition. He and their chief executive called Alex Jones, Kanye West, and Nick Fuentes, quote, "a disgusting triumvirate of conspiracy theorists, Holocaust deniers, and anti-Semites. Conservatives who have mistakenly indulged Kanye West must make it clear that he is a pariah. Enough is enough. The conversation with Alex Jones focused on the dinner last week between Yee and Fuentes and Trump, which occurred 1 week after Trump announced that he was going to run for president again. And it all underscored Trump's long-running ties to and refusal to fully denounce public figures known for spreading hate speech and baseless conspiracy claims. Because again, as we have said, Trump knows he can't win anything. He won't be popular at anything unless he continues to hold on to the most extreme, the most prejudiced, and the most, I'm just going to say it, ugly aspects of American citizenry. He is a bottom feeder at this point. And that's all he's got going for him, knowing it will get him attention. Kanye West has known that as well throughout his career, is, you know, that in he has learned the lesson that there is no such thing as bad publicity. Well, until you start saying nice things about Hitler and the Nazis, and apparently that's where the line is. But again, it's getting attention. We're going to leave it at that, simply to say that it was said, it was quickly and widely condemned, and Alex Jones was loving it. He was talking about how the whole world is crazy, the power structure is coming down, but this is absolutely lit. This is lit, 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 lit. We are the number one show in the world right now. That's what it's all about to ugly people like Alex Jones. Back after this, this is Up North News Radio.
Four.
It is just 5 degrees up here on Lake Wasota, and obviously a little chilly wherever you are. I know you just heard your current temperature in your hometown, coast to coast, border to border, across the state, as I like to say. But hopefully, if you do have to spend any extended amount of time outside, you're finding ways to keep yourself warm and safe. We would appreciate that. Let's see. We mentioned the Bucks beating the Knicks last night. The Packers and Bears will face off Sunday at noon. I have acquired a can cozy from the Drink Wisconsin Belief store, green and gold, saying the Bears still suck on it. And we will dig up that song for tomorrow, Aaron. Don't let me forget. It's a classic. I've got a friend who's a big-time Bears fan, and he loves to use the Touch Tunes app to play jukeboxes in whatever watering hole we happen to be sitting in. And I can't help it when it gets to be football season. I sometimes jump in the line. You can, you know, pay an extra credit and jump in line on the jukebox, and up comes the Bears Still Suck. And somehow he always knows it's me. I don't know. I guess I'm passive aggressive that way. Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Touch Tunes is definitely, an implement of war.
That's a good way to put it. It's true, because again, it's at several of the places that we frequent around here. And yeah, you people look around like, oh, who jumped in line and who played that? And this is my favorite part. A couple of my buddies, we're sitting at one place and they're both complaining about the Wi-Fi. And they're both complaining because they can't get the app to work. And they're holding their phone up in the air and they're doing everything else with it. And I just laugh and I point not 20 feet away. I said, the jukebox is right there. You can walk over and put in a dollar. No, I got to get the app to work, though. The Wi-Fi. I finally walked over, put in a $5 bill and played all the songs I wanted while they were still waiting to get the app to work, because the machine is right there. It couldn't have been any easier unless there was a close in play sitting on the bar next to our lineys.
Yeah, sometimes they're a little farther away, or there's people crowded around them, or you're trying to do it in secret and play Bee Gees for your friend that hates the Bee Gees or whatever.
It gets worse. There's a couple of bars in our area, go figure, Northwest Wisconsin. And I remember watching one of my friends get really frustrated, going, why haven't they played my song yet? And then a minute or two later, he goes, oh, no, And I said, what? And he starts to laugh. And we were at the edge at this point. And he said, I had the wrong bar called up. Meanwhile, customers upriver at the Mallard are wondering why they're hearing the same damn song for the third time in a row. And it's because somebody picked the wrong bar on the app. You need to be careful with technology, boys and girls.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I can say that I haven't done that, but I've also barely used Touch Tunes, honestly. Mostly, I let my friends do the terrorism.
Jukebox terrorism is a real thing, kids. Aaron Rodgers says he'd have an open mind if the Packers get eliminated from playoff contention and if he's approached about resting to allow more game reps for Jordan Love. However, before that happens, as we mentioned yesterday, he wants to make sure that the Packers are mathematically eliminated. And so he wants to make all this a moot point by winning out. Rodgers said, I'd love to finish the season out, but I understand this is a business. And there's a lot of us kind of older guys who play a decent amount, and they might want to see some of the younger guys play, Rodgers said Wednesday. Hopefully we don't have to have that conversation. But if that conversation comes up, I'll approach that with an open mind and without any bitterness or resentment. Well, that's certainly the right thing to say. Let's see if he handles it better than, you know, say Favre did for him back in the day. But again, the Packers are 4-8, and they would have to leapfrog four other teams to make the playoffs. So yeah, winning out is the only way. The only way forward is through for Rodgers, and he still thinks that he's got a chance to do that, especially given that he is one of the owners of the Chicago Bears. He has owned the Bears for years now and wants to see if he can do that one more time coming up this Sunday. On Saturday morning, the USA men's soccer team will play in the knockout stage of the World Cup. They will take on the Netherlands. That's going to be the extent of my game preview. Other than to say, let's see, I know I found one useful piece of information that didn't go over my head. The U.S. will have their hands full against a talented Dutch side, according to ESPN, but there is reason for optimism. Despite winning the group, the Dutch struggled offensively against both Uruguay and Senegal before beating Qatar in their third match. U.S. winger Tim Way said, I always say it's us against the world. No one believed the U.S. could play good football. So there it is again. If you're tracking your sports cliches, nobody gave us a chance. It's us against the world is the mindset that's guiding the U.S. men's soccer team. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss spoke to the January 6th committee, and for, you know, whatever reason you want to call it, Voss was it. That's the wrap. The January 6th committee is all done interviewing witnesses and is now working on a report that they hope to put out by Christmas time. Voss was interviewed because former President Donald Trump called him this year and told him he needs to work to decertify the election that happened 2 years ago. And Voss told him that's not a thing. You know, he said in so many words, you know, I love you, booby. You're the best, but I can't do this thing for you.
And hey, some logic, Trump, at least.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, thank God for little favors. Anyway, initially, the House committee had subpoenaed Voss. He filed a federal lawsuit seeking to block it, delaying it just long enough that he became the final witness in what is obviously a case being made that this is a president and now former president who not only tried to cheat and tried to rig the election, but continues to do so. And that's pretty much what, you know, the report is going to say. Then the question becomes, what does that lead to? Does Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and the U.S. Department of Justice, you know, what kind of criminal actions do they take against the former president? Voss had said something. He put out a brief statement saying that the meeting was brief itself and that he answered their questions about the 2020 election. You know, Voss at some point had made note that, you know, he didn't have any connection to January 6th. Well, that's not exactly true. You know, he and so many other Republicans cast doubt on the election results, knowing full well there was no reason to cast doubt on the results. You know, his compadre, State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who's now a U.S. congressman, arranged for a slate of fake electors to have access to the Capitol and fill out fraudulent paperwork claiming to be the rightful electors from Wisconsin. Ron Johnson played a role in it by coming within minutes of possibly delivering that fraudulent ballot of fake electors to Vice President Mike Pence, except that, you know, a mob had broken into the Capitol and was starting to ransack the place, and everybody had to flee for their lives. As for Ron Johnson himself, well, he's back to lying about the COVID vaccine. He stepped before cameras yesterday in the U.S. Capitol and let out some kind of gobbledygook that I'm not even going to give it the time of day, just to say that he, again, is incorrectly interpreting an open source database to claim all kinds of things about the vaccine that aren't verified and aren't true. He knows this. He knows he is purposefully misinterpreting the data in that database, and yet he was doing this anyway. It's what he does, and it's what he's going to continue to do. And look, at least for the next 2 years, and hopefully the next six, Ron Johnson's irrelevant. You know, he is not in the majority in the U.S. Senate, hopefully never gets to sniff the majority and once again chair a committee where he can hold these dog and pony shows about the vaccine, about Hunter Biden's laptop, whatever the case may be. But the point I want to make here is let's remember why Ron Johnson is once again in the Capitol standing before a bank of microphones spreading lies about the COVID vaccine. It's because, in part, Wisconsin's newsrooms chose not to hold him accountable for that. Instead, most of their focus and their stories were taking the bait and focusing on crime the way Ron Johnson and his donor sponsors wanted them to. Because, you know, talking about COVID and vaccines and misinterpreting the database is boring, whereas crime is exciting. You can re-rack the footage out of Kenosha or Minneapolis. You can talk to people who say they're scared, even though the odds of a riot breaking out in Ladysmith are pretty low. And again, we can talk about Mandela Barnes and we can talk about the voters and everything else. But my focus, by and large, as a journalist, is on my own colleagues and wondering why so many of them gave Ron Johnson a pass for those few times that he did subject himself to real interviews, not the puff pieces that he does on, you know, right-wing radio stations across Wisconsin all the time. He simply was not held to account. And it's not that any one of them would get him to confess and to say, well, you know, I was lying. It's about letting your audience know, however, that you made the attempt, that you said, here's where Ron Johnson lied. Here's where he lied again. Here's where he lied again. So we ask him about this and why, why he's asking voters for a third term. And that wasn't it. Instead, we saw a lot of, you know, stenography basically on, you know, Johnson says this and the ads about crime say that. Even though if you look at the numbers about crime, it's a fraction of the harm done to people compared to all those who have died because of misinformation about the COVID vaccine. And yeah, I'm going to say it. Ron Johnson's responsible for a ton of deaths. Ron Johnson and others are directly responsible for perhaps hundreds of thousands of Americans dying who didn't get the vaccine because they believed the lies that people like Ron Johnson were telling. For whatever reason, maybe it's heartfelt, maybe it's political cynicism, but whatever the case may be, it's reckless, it's irresponsible. It's in that whole notion of, you know, people are saying, rather than looking at what the actual data is. The people who developed these vaccines are heroes. This was something that we ought to be on our knees nightly, and thanking our lucky stars that that vaccine got developed as quickly as it did. Lord only knows how many more, another million Americans might be dead. But instead, there are hundreds of thousands who died because they did not get this life-saving vaccine because of the misinterpretation that, oh, the vaccine doesn't prevent every case of it. Did you hear what Marjorie Taylor Greene said the other day? She made some case about, you know, she was mocking the effectiveness of masks. They must not be effective because we all wear underwear and you can still smell a fart. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I shared that tweet yesterday during Todd's show, and I mean, we both just laughed at it. There's not much else you can really do it besides, of course, say that.
But you're
it's
right.
A lie.
The right thing is to laugh, because that's something that other people can hear, not to just roll your eyes or to walk away and shake your head. But when somebody says something that inane, and when Ron Johnson should otherwise be irrelevant, but gets to stand before microphones and lie again about a pandemic that has killed so many in Wisconsin and elsewhere, then yes, we are going to carve out a couple of minutes and remind people that he's wrong, that he's lying, that he knows he is, and then we're going to turn away from him again. Because while he did win election, thankfully, by and large, Ron Johnson is irrelevant. We'll be back. This is Up North News Radio.
In Walmart.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I know this song didn't get as much play from Alanis Morissette, but Knock the Doctor is one of my favorites, and quite often I need to be reminded of that, especially yesterday when I had my annual physical, that while I'm not a hypochondriac, I have a feeling I might have sounded like that at times and need to be reminded that I am not the doctor, but Kristen Lyerly is, for example, and she's here now. How are you?
I'm great. Could you please turn your head and cough for me?
You know, one of the more surprising things for me was that, it's for younger men, you know, up to a certain age, you get that little test for hernia, and there's nothing little about that test where you have to turn your head and cough. And then later you don't need that so much anymore, but then you need the dreaded prostate exam, mm-hmm. which is even more invasive than the check for a hernia. Mm-hmm. And I was pleasantly surprised to learn from my doctor last year and again this year that, you know, a PSA test for your prostate is at least as or more effective, and that you don't actually need the digital exam, shall we say, mm-hmm. on an every year basis. And I, for one, welcome that news.
I'm sure you're not the only one. But, you know, it really does underline the importance, because prostate cancer, if found early, is highly treatable. And if you don't find it early, if you just, you know, poo-poo.
I see what you did there.
If you poo-poo the symptoms and pretend like nothing's wrong, but you know that something's wrong and you don't investigate it, it creates a lot of problems down the road and could really cost your life. Preventive care is essential.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And in so many other ways. I know somebody who had been putting off some dental work, and I read them the Riot Act, because, mm-hmm. you know, serious dental problems, that the infection you can get there is a one-way ticket to the funeral home.
Yeah, you don't think about it as anything other than what's going on in your mouth and it's causing pain or, you know, whatever those local symptoms are. But we know in the obstetrical community that poor dental health is related to poor obstetrical health, poor outcomes for our babies, preterm birth, small birth weight or low birth weight. So we really do have to make sure that we are emphasizing dental health. And that can be a real challenge, especially in rural areas of Wisconsin.
I blame the American healthcare system.
Why?
Because people don't go to the doctor because it's expensive.
Oh, so you mean the health insurance system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said the wrong thing. I meant insurance. Yeah.
No. I caught you there. But again, we're the only country in the world where, you know, corporate profits have a greater say than doctors at times in terms of what patients are going to get for patient care.
Not at times, always. Yeah. They dictate what we are able to offer. And sometimes we have to fight for it. And we are fighting and making a case to people who have no idea what we're talking about. And they have no incentive to say yes to what we are asking them to do, because it's just going to cost them money. And at their very core, they're a business, mm-hmm. not a service provider.
And then add on that, and I saw this in the waiting room yesterday while waiting for my physical, was an elderly lady came out and, you know, something was said to her that you could do this or this. And she said, well, what do you think I should do? And they can't answer it that way because, again, my wife, who's a physician, I've heard that end of the conversation many times where she says, I can't answer that. You have to make that decision for yourself. But that is a very overwhelming thing to ask of patients sometimes.
Yeah. And people often just don't know what to do. So they want you to pick for them. But it's really impossible for us because we don't live in our patients' worlds. We don't understand what their values are and what they're able to do and what their social situations are. It's so much more complex than just pick choice A or B.
There's the legal implications that, you know, what you say in terms of advice can come back to haunt you. There's the financial implication. It's tough for anybody, doctor, nurse, or otherwise, to have to, it's darn near impossible to say the words, well, I know your insurance doesn't cover it, but it's really worth it to pay out of pocket to do X. You know, this is not there's not a price board like a McDonald's that you can look up at and say, do I want to do that or not? And I don't envy anybody in the healthcare industry who has to cater to the health insurance industry in order to determine a patient care plan.
Yeah. And most patients don't realize that what you pay for your healthcare depends on the contract that your health insurance provider has with your healthcare provider. There is this whole black hole of negotiations and deals about the services and drugs and all of the different things that you need as a patient, as a human being, that you may or may not receive depending on how that conversation went in the boardroom.
Yeah, I used to be a pharmacy technician for about a year and a half, and I definitely saw a lot of that. Like, at the simplest level, it'll often be where the care provider will send a bill, and they'll be like, this should cost $200. And then insurance contacts them back, and we're like, we are giving you $3.
Yeah. Or using services like GoodRx or other like intermediary services. You know, if people know that they're out there and they're savvy enough to do that, they can receive substantial discounts. And if they don't know that, then it can be really complicated for them.
Which, yeah, if Kristen, you are listening to this and you are paying a lot for drugs, definitely do check out GoodRx, because I didn't think it was real until I was a pharmacy technician. I saw commercials and I'm like, what is this nonsense? There's no way that's real, but it is, and it is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, this all sounds like the kind of thing, Dr. Lyerly, that we should do on a regular basis. What would you say about, say, once a week coming in and we just talk about various healthcare issues like this?
I would say yes, Pat. Well,
okay, it's done. You're hired at the budget of $0 from Civic Media and from Up North News, but the fact that you want to come do this out of the goodness of your heart works wonders. Tell us more about what we would like to do on a weekly basis, say Thursdays at 7:30.
Yes, perfect. So I think we get together and we have conversations with folks about our health, about how different things in the world affect our personal health on an individual level. Can we get healthcare? Is it affordable? Like we've just been talking about, is it accessible? Are those services available in the area where we live? Everybody has a healthcare story. I was just talking with an old friend of mine who happens to be a healthcare provider. She's managing a chronic disease and she needs a medication that costs $20,000 a month.
A month.
To manage her disease. A month. So she can't go without her health insurance. Yet she's stuck in this weird administrative gap where she's going to lose her coverage and she doesn't know what to do about it. And this is a smart, educated healthcare provider who is great about maintaining her care. This should not happen in the richest country on earth that has the most expensive healthcare system. These situations should absolutely not happen. So that's one of the things.
We could do an entire segment on how is a $20,000 a month drug a thing? How do you even calculate that? You know, first we try to defend it. You know, how did they get there? And then what might be a better path forward? You know, there's no shortage of topics that we can hit on with this, but you want to make sure that it's not just driven by, you know, what you think or the goofball things that Aaron and I say, but that listeners themselves have some input into this.
Yeah, you're known for your goofball things, Pat, but yes. Yeah.
Some would say.
You know, I'm here hanging out with you guys because I think it's really important to have these conversations, but I think what makes these conversations rich is when our audience members call in and write in and say, this is what I'm experiencing, or this is something that I don't understand, or this is a problem that I think we need to solve. I would love to see more engagement with real people so we can continue to create that community and continue to move forward and starting to really chip away at these fundamental problems that so many of us experience.
So it's worth noting that especially starting on these Thursdays, we're going to want you to call in and share any questions or concerns. And I think even though I've mentioned the number several times, because it's still relatively new, folks have been used to calling. Aaron, what's the regular phone line for Civic Media stations? Do you have it handy there? Because I know people have been calling that, but because we're up north, we also have a 715 number. So I really hope people will note 715-388-7155 and, you know, start using that for questions. And did you ever find the other number there, Aaron? Because I think they both come into the same switchboard.
They do both come into the same switchboard. So yes, there's that number. And there is, let's see, 844-967-2789.
All right.
Say it again, Aaron.
844-967-2789. And if you have other phone numbers that you get during shows, like I know I don't see them on this screen here, and I don't know them offhand because there are several, but there are some that have a 608 area code. Those also should still route to the same board. And I know that they are all, well, the 844 and the 715 are toll free.
Yes. So by all means, pick one of those numbers, write them down. We'll mention them at the time as well. And then keep in mind, radio@upnorthnewswi.com is our email address. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Don't share anything overtly personal there. We don't want to get there. We want the kinds of questions that, you know, we can apply toward the whole listenership. Which doesn't mean they're not personal questions about you, but you know, we don't want to necessarily give out too much information on the air about you. We want to talk about particular conditions and things like that.
Right. And I can't give out specific medical advice, but we can certainly talk about things in generalities. And I don't want to just focus on that individual piece, but I want to focus on the community health piece as well. So what's happening in your community that directly affects your health? Like, for example, do you live in a place where EMS services are languishing because they're underfunded? Or is your water safe to drink? I mean, we just saw an article in the local paper up here in northeastern Wisconsin where people have been cooking with bottled water for years because their water is polluted with PFAS.
Or there's the segment we had last time around, paid leave. And, you know, how that would be beneficial to family health as well.
You bet.
So all of that and more on Thursdays at 7:30. Meanwhile, you are still gracious enough to say you're going to show up here Mondays at 6:30 just to shoot the breeze. And I can't think of a better way to start the week. So I'm glad that we're going to have you Mondays at 6:30 and then Thursdays at 7:30 with a bit more of a health focus. But we're going to do all that with you being another year older and wiser as of tomorrow. I'm just finding this out that tomorrow's your birthday.
It's not just me though, Pat. It's
my birthday too.
It's also Aaron.
And Britney Spears and Aaron Rodgers.
Britney Spears, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron and Kristen, the Mount Rushmore of December 2nd birthdays. Do you have a birthday tradition, whether it's a favorite kind of birthday cake or a place you go to dinner or, you know, a spa day or what? Do you have any kind of birthday consistency, or is it something every year is a little different?
I don't have any consistent traditions. I just want to be surrounded by people who I love, who make me feel great. That's all that matters to me.
The only reason I ask is that the closest thing I have is that one year at one of my jobs, they used, it was in Milwaukee actually at the time, the bakery that they use for employees' birthdays made this chocolate cake with raspberry filling. And then chocolate frosting. That's been my jam every year, is a chocolate cake with raspberry filling in, you know, in the middle layer. And oh my goodness.
Oh, it's been your jam?
Yeah, I'll spin my frosting.
Ching.
You know? Yeah. You young kids, you have no idea, but at least you'll be another year older at that point. So I'm still blown away. You both have birthdays tomorrow.
It's cool. If I'd have known. It's a cool day.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, any birthday traditions?
Not really. Although when I was living with my parents, we would always make tater tot casserole on my birthday because it was my favorite.
He put a few candles in a tater tot casserole.
Wink.
I love it. That's so great. Well, happy birthday to both of you. Kristen, have a great birthday weekend, and then we'll see you Monday and then again Thursday to talk about health matters.
I can't wait, Pat. Have a wonderful weekend, and happy birthday, Aaron.
Happy birthday to you, too.
We'll wrap up the show after this. You're up north. Mind the empty bottle with the holes along the bottom. You say it's too much to ask for, and I am not that actor. You know, one of my favorite social media accounts is called Super 70 Sports. It's a little bawdy on the language, but it brings up all kinds of nice reasons to reminisce. And along with a picture of Christine McVie, it says, Super Sky Point to Christine McVie. If it's possible to be a member of Fleetwood Mac and still somehow be underrated as hell, she was that. What a rich, soulful voice. Christine McVie passed away at the age of 79 yesterday. And I'd like to share part of the obituary from the New York Times because I don't know anything about Jim Farber, the writer of the story. But boy, I love the language in some of this, and I'll point it out later. But first, I'll start with some of the basics here. He writes that McVie's commercial potency, and actually, I want to do this right because we have a montage of songs here to play. So you just go ahead. Aaron, and hit the next one as you like for a little bit, and then the next one after that while I read Ms. McVie's commercial potency, which hit a high point in the 70s and 80s, was on full display in the Greatest Hits anthology released in 1988. She either wrote or co-wrote half of the tracks, double that of Stevie Nicks. The third most prolific member, Lindsey Buckingham, scored three of those hits. The most popular songs McVie wrote favored bouncing beats and lively melodies. Say You Love Me, You Make Loving Fun, Hold Me, Don't Stop. But she also had elegant ballads like Over My Head and Little Lies. This line here. McVie's vocals communicated a nuanced range of feeling. Her soulful contralto could sound by turns maternally wise and sexually alive. Her tawny tone had the heady effect of a bourbon with a rich bouquet and a smooth finish. It found a graceful place in harmony with the voices of Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, together forming the signature Fleetwood Mac sound. With Fleetwood Mac, she earned 5 gold, 1 platinum, and 7 multi-platinum albums. The band's biggest success, Rumors, released in 1977, was one of the mightiest movers in pop history, certified double diamond, representing sales of over 20 million copies. When Rumors came out, I was in middle school or junior high, as we called it back then, and had a class, took a music class, a chorus. And I don't remember which songs they were, but there were one or two songs off of Rumors that we did simply because it was such a, you know, it was a powerhouse album. Everybody knew it at the time. And it is not possible to overstate how big it was. Part of the reason that Rumor sold as big as it did is because the songs had such meaning. They cut deep. A lot of the songs were written as the four of the members of the band, two different couples, were going through breakups. And they just put it all out there. And it led to songs that connected with people, along with their musical talents, of course.
Yeah, and it was, then they really very much a perfect storm.
It was. Yeah, it really was. It came together. And by the way, it raises a little aside that I want to put up here about singers as artists. How if they have a hit for the next 30, 40 years, they have to sing that song over and over again. And if they don't sing it, audiences get mad. If a famous painter is appearing someplace, they don't have to repaint that painting again. A sculptor doesn't have to remake the sculpture again. But singers and musicians, they have to play their best piece over and over again. And you can understand where they get... McVee said it. Part of the reason the whole rumors phase worked is that there was not a sober day among them. It was your quintessential 70s band.
Yeah, and when your hit songs are all about the extreme pain that you're experiencing right now, that also makes it a little tough, besides having to replicate the flawless performance.
I think that my favorite example of that is the song You Make Love and Fun, which we played a snippet of already, which again sounds like this great celebration of a current love. McVee was when she wrote it about an affair she was having at the time with somebody. And when her then husband, you know, wanted to know the inspiration for the song, she said, "Oh, it was your dog. Your dog is just so much fun." And it wasn't that at all. I think I have something about Songbird here that I want to read. Let me scroll down to it. Yes. Here's Christine McVee talking about writing Songbird. The interviewer, and I don't know who this is because it's just an excerpt. The interviewer says, "Can we talk about Songbird?" She says, "Yes, of course." And the interviewer blurts out loudly, "Jesus Christ, what a song." And here's what she says. "That was a strange little baby, that one. I woke up in the middle of the night and the song just came into my head. I got out of bed, played it on the little piano I have in my room, and sang it with no tape recorder. I sang it from beginning to end, everything. I can't tell you quite how I felt. It was as if I had been visited. It was a very spiritual thing. I was frightened to play it again in case I'd forgotten it. I called a producer first thing the next day and I said, I've got to put this song down right now. I played it nervously, but I remembered it. Everyone just sat there and stared at me. I think they were all smoking opium or something in the control room. I've never had that happen to me since. Just that one visitation, it's weird. But you know, if you have it, go with it." So again, for Christine McVee, thank you. Thank you for everything. There's some other musical historical notes that we want to set up today. And look, I'm going to do the Carpenters because I am a big Karen Carpenter fan. But, you know, by comparison to all the songs you just heard, this goofball hit, which hit number one on this day in 1973, doesn't really measure up.
Such a feeling's coming over.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but again, it's no Fleetwood Mac. One other note, we're going to play two clips here. Actually, first is on this day in 1958, a group called the Teddy Bears hit number one with this single. I would love to know your opinion on various remakes. When you hear a remake, do you immediately prefer that because it's new and modern, or do you tend to prefer the original because that's what you'd heard over and over again? I mean, that one's fine enough. I'm not the world's biggest 50s music fan. It's all good. But then I heard this 1987 remake by Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmylou Harris. It's just a reminder that music is wonderful no matter who does it, and that sometimes, like we talked about with Dolly Parton and Whitney Houston and I Will Always Love You, sometimes you just never know what that lump of clay is going to do until you put it in somebody else's hands as well. All right, thanks for that little musical journey coming along with me on that. We'll take a break for news at the top of the hour and have more in our 7 o'clock hour on Up North News Radio. Oh.